that. I've been coaching a long time in this league. I've had success, you know, as a coach, so I'm not worried about that. That's not my call. You know, my job is to fix the defense.
Vance Joseph today meeting with the media. Not concerned about his job?
My job's to fix the defense.
So he's not concerned about it.
If we're pie charting it.
Oh, boy, we've had a lot of pie today here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Or percentage, whatever you want to do. I'm leaning towards they keep things status quo. I am. And I'm leaning that way. I don't know what they're going to do. I think this is this. I said to you yesterday, I think you agreed. Like, if you're Michael Bidwell, like, you don't need much more. Like, you need to know. You need to know very, very soon. You don't need to the end of the season to know. Maybe you want to see how they respond after the Rams game against Pittsburgh. If they respond really well, that'll be important.
Wasn't that conversation, though, more about Steve Keim than it was about Vance Joseph, right? I mean, I thought...
I just think everything overall. Okay. I think your overall, as the owner, your overall interpretation of what you need to do with this team, you're going to come to that conclusion fairly soon.
I felt fine about Vance Joseph this time a week ago. After Sunday, I think we're kind of back to ground zero when it comes to Vance Joseph. It's kind of simple. If the offense, it's weird to have a conversation about the defense relayed around the offense, but if the offense is performing well enough, it really does mask how bad the defense is. And with the offense being as competitive as they were in some of these games the last month, the defense has been terrible. It doesn't take it away, but the speculation about Vance Joseph's future really became quiet over the last month because we were just so focused on how competitive they were in these games and how much better the offense was. When the offense has a lousy game like it did against the Rams, you're reminded of just how bad that defense is and just how little talent there is on that. You're like, oh, wow. Oh, there really is no talent on that defense. When they're not competitive, it's exposed that much more so. And I just think that after that game, they might... It's kind of your theory on Kevin Sumlin. How can you afford to let him go? How can you afford not to let him go? And I kind of feel the way about Vance Joseph.
Unless they've got this game plan where, you know, obviously if they get into free agency with this group, they're going to concentrate very strongly on the defensive front, rushers and defensive linemen. I mean, they're going to concentrate on that. I mean, try to upgrade those areas in free agency. They finally have cap space. They finally have money. There's always good players out there in free agency. It's not the be-all, end-all, fix it. You want to still build through the draft, but when you have this much cap space, you can address those needs. You can fix a lot of issues. And so that's where that's what they will concentrate on heavily is that front line and those linebackers.
Vance Joseph today saying these struggles that they're going through defensively, it takes courage to live through this.
We have a young group, okay? We're in our first year of a system. Even our veteran players have been in, you know, a different system for the last 3 years. So it takes time, you know, and it takes courage to live through this. It's hard times. You know, we're going to get it fixed. And once it's fixed, you know, no one remembers these times. But right now it's tough, you know. So if you're not strong-willed and you don't have courage, you can't fix it.
But like you said earlier, guarantee me that next year it's not going to be the same thing. And okay, I'm willing to live through this year defensively.
Sure, if you know.
But if I know next year is going to be more of this, you know, or that you're the wrong guy for the job, then what am I living through, right?
But that's what you're selling me, right? I mean, what's fans going to say? Listen, this is going to get fixed. I just need time. I mean, can't expect miracles overnight. I mean, we don't have the players, and we're putting a system in. It's going to take time. We've got to develop guys. You could say it was his tight end comment that really threw me for the loop because that one was just like, okay, that one came out of left field.
Let me play it right here. The soundbite is labeled, "Why do you think you're closer than people think?" Here was Coach Joseph's response to that.
Because I watched the tape, right? And again, I mean, you watch a football game, it's sometimes really minor things that show up as major concerns. The tight end, right? That was a major question for you. He caught 3 balls for 7 yards. He ran off with it. We can fix that, okay? So I'm not worried about my scheme covering tight ends. Okay, so we can fix those things. So sometimes the public sees us as huge issues, okay? And for us, it's simple fixes. So again, it's hard times right now. Okay, we're all going through it. It takes courage to go through these times, okay? That's where we are, and it's going to get fixed.
Wow. Like that one, okay, like I'm buying, okay. What?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
What? What did you just say about the tight ends?
He made it sound
like. It was
like...
three catches for 7 yards. Yeah. I would love for you to hold to the tight end to three catches for 7 yards.
Well, I think what he was saying was they went off. But the tone of that makes it sound like the tight end problem is akin to changing a light bulb. Oh, yeah, just go to the garage, get out the ladder, and go up there and change the light bulb. Man, you've had 12 games to change that light bulb. 12. All right? Your defense is by 150 yards the worst against tight ends this year. If it's that simple to fix it, then fix it. If it's that easy to solve the problem, then solve it.
How about his whole career, though?
Well, yeah, I mean,
you brought up.
Yeah, somebody put the stat out a couple of days ago that if you look at his defenses when he was with the Broncos,
he never struggled against the tight end.
That soundbite, I'm not going to lie, it bothered me just as much as it bothered you because it's just got such a tone of simplicity to it. Oh, yeah, we'll get it fixed. Tight end thing, it's not that big. We'll be fine. We'll get it fixed. Then fix it. You've had three quarters of the season to fix this. I would understand if it's George Kittle that you're lining up against every single week through the miracle of whatever, and George Kittle is torching you every single week for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's elite. These are not elite tight ends that are burning you every single week. All right? Ross Dwelly is not an elite tight end. Go look at his stats. The only game he did anything against was
Cardinals.
You. Was you. You're the only one. Fantasy football experts are licking their chops to pick up tight ends that play against the Arizona Cardinals. It's like a guaranteed 17 points out of the tight end spot. And I'm not trying to make this about fantasy football, but, you know, the simplicity
almost
of which
like the
he
Jeff
makes...
Fisher. I know what I'm doing.
A little bit.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Then do it.
But he's saying... You got it. But he's saying, I know what I'm doing, but I need you to be patient because I can't do it right now. We'll fix it. It just takes time and put a system in. I know what I'm doing, but you have to trust me because I'm not going to be able to fix it right now. Do you?
And what's hard about this is that because we've got no prior history of Vance Joseph, we've got no equity. He's got no equity with us.
None.
He hasn't. What has Vance Joseph done other than being given this position by Steve Keim? What has Vance Joseph done to earn that trust? To be able to earn that belief in, okay, yeah, you're right, Vance, I trust you to get it done.
John Elway trusted him to be the head coach of his organization. So people have put their trust in Vance Joseph before. This isn't the first time anybody's put their trust in Vance Joseph. John Elway trusted him with the entire organization to be the head coach. Now he got fired, ultimately, and they didn't do a good enough job, and now he's back to defensive coordinator. Look, when he got hired, a lot of people liked the hire for the simple aspect that he was a head coach before.
Yes.
That will help Cliff. He's got head coaching experience. He can help Cliff.
Okay, but that's done.
But Todd Bowles isn't doing a good job in Tampa, and Betch is not doing a good job in New York, and all these guys that were good and that you believed in the past, they're just not doing very well.
Right, but if that was the chief selling point of Vance Joseph, I don't need that anymore if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff has head coaching experience. He's got 12 games. When it's all said and done, he's going to have a season. Cliff knows what it is to be a head coach in this league. He doesn't need another former head coach, and if that's the main reason why Vance Joseph is on this staff... is because of his former head coaching. You don't require that out of him anymore. We've moved. Now he just needs to coach the defense. Now we don't need someone to hold the rookie head coach's hand anymore. That's done. So is he? I know you think the lean is keeping him. I think it's start from scratch time with Vance Joseph. What are you going to show me these last four games to show me you should be the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals? Because, Matt, how is your defense going to respond to that embarrassment?
With no change in personnel, that they could do anything over the next 4 weeks to show you that they've been the worst defense in the league. How's that going to change in four games?
I'm going back to what you said on Monday. Show me some fight. Show me some.
Okay.
There was no effort being. He even said as much today, being Vance Joseph. There was no effort out of that defense. Show me something. Show me.
Show me what I'm looking for.
Show me some fight. Show me something, right? Respond. Respond to this. How do you respond to this? You said that team-wise. I'm saying that defensively. You're right. They haven't shown me anything all year long to make me think they're capable of it, but you've got four games to prove me wrong.
You're going up against a quarterback who's probably going to be on a practice squad next year.
Yes.
okay?
If ever there
he's
was
not even going to be the backup to Ben Roethlisberger next year.
He's not going to have James Conner. He might not have Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah. If ever there was a week for you defensively to get right, this is a good week for you to do it.
Take a go, like literally go after this kid.
Yeah.
Go after him.
Yep. Minutes away from tip-off against the Pelicans, and we're looking for improvements out of the Phoenix Suns. What exactly does that look like? We'll tell you next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We never got Jordan Bird on the phone, so, boy, if the Suns win tonight, then what?
Then it was bad news for the Pelicans.
I know, but
we
haven't been on a real good streak with it being bad news for the Pelicans or bad news for the Magic or bad news for the...
It was bad news for the Hornets.
I guess it's true.
It was bad news for the Hornets.
Okay, I guess that's true. The thing that we normally do here on the Burns and Gambo Show going into a Suns game, Jordan Bird, is calling tonight's Northern Arizona Suns game against, once again, the Memphis Hustle, right? They're playing the Hustle again
tonight? They do the Hustle.
I think they're doing the Hustle again tonight. We'll see how many points Josh Jackson gets this evening against the G League version of the Phoenix Suns. But no Jordan Bird, which means no bad news for the Pelicans. We'll find out what that actually means as the Suns take on the Pelicans at 6 o'clock. We are now through the first 20 games of the season. We've been breaking up the season into 10-game chunks. We are through two of the chunks. We are through a quarter of the season. We're already a quarter of the way there. And I don't know if we know much more about the Suns than we did when the season
started. It's just incomplete. It's incomplete. Like, I missed too many days of school because I had a broken leg and I couldn't go to school. It's an incomplete. Like, I feel without a center. Not with one of them, I could judge it. With just Baines or just Ayton, I could judge. Without two, man, I have a hard time judging that. I don't know. I mean, they're a better. We saw what they could do when they had one center, right? And the guy that's been indispensable for them has been Baines. I mean, who's the most indispensable player? Baines. Without Ayton, they won games. Without Baines, they're not winning games. So, you know, now if Ayton comes back and Baines is out and they win games, okay, it's just the center. The indispensable part is they just need a center. Frank Kaminsky's not a center. He signed a 2-year deal for $10 million to be the backup power forward. He's not supposed to play center.
Right.
Shaq Diallo's not supposed to play at all. He's supposed to be the guy at the end of the bench. In case of emergency, break glass. He's not supposed to play.
Yeah, he's playing a lot.
So you're judging, you know, we're judging this block of 10 games where they went 3-7. Some of those games, they didn't have Ricky Rubio. And a lot of those games, they didn't have Aaron Baines. And it's just hard. Yeah, you'd like to beat Orlando. You probably should have beat Orlando. They were 1-4 on back-to-backs. They had played the night before, had to travel. And they kicked their ass. They kicked their ass. You played a terrible game. And now they play tonight against New Orleans on a back-to-back. This has been difficult. I mean, I'm almost at an incomplete because I just want to see what happens when they get one of their centers back.
I'm going back and forth on this because, and I'm going to keep saying this, you know how I feel about this season, that 7-4 start that they got off to. It was so liberating. It was so exciting. It was so much fun. It was such a relief to see this team get off to a good start because it's just something we've all wanted for so long. I mean, I've never been shy about my fandom for the Phoenix Suns. And with every single loss during the second chunk of 10 games, as they started to pile up, I kept thinking to myself, please don't let it be not real. Please don't let it be fake. Please don't let it be a mirage, you know? And I don't feel like it was a mirage. I think this team can still be good again when they get their full complement of guys back. And you're absolutely right, man. Aaron Baines has proven to be maybe the most important indispensable piece on the Phoenix Suns roster And who would have ever thought that at the beginning of the season,
right?
He
was supposed to be a backup center playing 15 to 20 minutes a game.
But at the same time, I'm going to play the if I had told you game. And if I had told you 20 games into the season, the Suns are going to be 9-11. Nobody would have said, oh, that sucks. Nobody would have said, oh, I wouldn't take that. Nobody would have said, I'm not happy about that at all. Nobody. We would have all gone, ooh, 9-11. Almost 500. More competitive than I thought.
Right.
Closer to being a better team.
Or take it another way. If they had started out 3-7 and then went 7-4, It's just, it's the time frame.
It's the time frame.
And it's the time frame. It's the tease was, they were one of the biggest surprises. They beat Philadelphia and they beat the Clippers.
That was the tease.
And that was the tease.
And they were competitive against the Nuggets.
Sure,
competitive, and they
sure.
played that heck of a game against the LA Lakers,
Nuggets.
Right? I mean, it was all of that added up. And since then, it's all about expectations. It's always about expectations. At the beginning of the season, we had none. Other than hopefully they win about 30 to 36 games. 11 games into the season, we put expectations, not playoff expectations, but competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
We put those expectations on this team,
yep.
and now they're failing to live up to those expectations, so we're disappointed.
But why are they failing to live up to expectations? Because they're not good or because they don't have a center? I don't know the answer to it. Are they failing to live up to the expectations because, you know what, they're really not that good and that was a little bit of a mirage? Or are they failing to live up to the expectations because they're literally playing without a center?
There's no doubt the center plays a role in this. There's no question. But the team I've been watching for the last 10 games and the team you've been watching for the last 10 games is not playing defense
nope.
with the same intensity they were playing with the first 10 games. Not even close. Not even close.
No.
Center or no center, Aaron Baines or not, they're not that team last night. They didn't get walloped by Orlando last night because they didn't have Aaron Baines out there. It didn't help. But that's not why they got walloped by the Orlando Magic. They were playing lazy defense.
Well, without size, it's just like they're getting worn down in a boxing match. They're just getting worn down over time. And by the time you get to the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th rounds, they just don't have a lot left to give you.
Yeah. It is time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight, the games that we're going to watch this evening. Brought to you by Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Of course, we're going to watch the Suns and the Pelicans tonight at 6 o'clock. We are also going to watch the Coyotes tonight. They are taking on Philadelphia, and they are up 1-0 right now in the first period of that game. And we're also going to watch Thursday Night Football tonight, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Chicago Bears. Of course, you're off tomorrow, so I don't know if you're going to be watching any of those things. You might go watch The Irishman on Netflix.
I might. It's like four
hours. And a half
though.
Hours long, but
I got two doctors and a dentist appointment tomorrow.
Way to spend a vacation day. Boy, you know how to party.
7 a.m. with Dr. Patel.
You know how to party, my friend.
8 a.m. with Doc Simon, and then the knees at 3 o'clock. So
yeah, you're taking a
vacation
day for that.
I got three doctor's appointments
tomorrow. See, what you should do is you take a sick day for that. Just not tell anybody.
Oh, damn.
That's what you should do. We're out of here. Suns basketball is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.